Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Samach Gimel and Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Homer, Harei Alai Machavat, Lo Yavi B'Marcheshet. If you decide that the mincha that you're going to bring, this is a mincha nidava, you say, I'm going to bring a machavat, then you can't bring a marcheshet. B'Marcheshet, Lo Yavi Machavat. On the other hand, if you pledge to bring a marcheshet, you can't bring a machavat. Ma Ben Machavat de Marcheshet. What's the difference between them that you can't bring one or the other? Marcheshet yesh la kisui. Marcheshet is cooked, baked with a cover on it, the mincha. And machavat in la kisui. Does not have a cover. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the difference between a machavat and marcheshet is whether it's covered or uncovered. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. Chanina ben Gamliel says or states the difference as being something that we've been more familiar with, which is marcheshet amuka. It's a deep pan. Umaseha rochashim virakin. And the baking of the mincha in such a deep pot, deep pan, makes it rochesh because the oil gathers together and makes it very oily. So when you touch it, it's somewhat liquidy still. It's not such a solid item. And rach, and it's soft. On the other hand, machavat, tzafa, is very shallow. Maseh kashim, and it's a little more crispy because you're frying it in a very shallow oil, causes it to be crispier rather than softer. Samara asks, my time with Rabbi Yossi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi's position here that the difference between a marchesh and machavat is a kisui, is a cover? So ilim, if you want to say it's because of the psukim, idarshin's psukim, or the words, which is marcheshet da'atya arichushe aleiv. And marcheshet is going to the thoughts of the heart. Rashi over here leans it towards something that's hirei aveira, something negative, although the pasuk that they quote is not necessarily negative, which is kidichtiv, rachash libi davar tov. My heart was stirred or overflowing with something good. So over there, it's not in a negative sense. The pasuk is in a positive sense, but it's something that's within the heart. Umachavat, and then machavat da atya amachbuye hapet, comes from the utterances of the lips. Kedem amri inche, as people say, minabach, minavach nebuche, or the shita changes it to mabach nebuche. The definition of what's a little unclear, it's either to a prate, which can have idle chatter, or it's a loud, dull sound, or a bark. Whatever it is, it's some sort of expression of noise, something coming out of the mouth. So marcheshet would be something in the heart, and machavat would be something from the mouth, an expression of the mouth. One is open, and one is closed. What's in a person's heart is closed, therefore we require kisui. On the other hand, the person's mouth, what they say, or what they express, is available to others, and therefore that would be open, without a cover. Rashi says, you don't have to say that, because ipcha, we have just as much proof the other way. Machavat, because machavat could be referring to the hidden things of the heart. When Lavan chases after Yaakov, he says, why did you sneak away? Why did you leave in the quiet of night and not tell me that you were leaving? Marcheshet, da'ate arachushe, and marcheshet be going on rachushe, da'meinche, abe marachashan siftote, that his lips were quivering. So you see that could be an expression of the outward expression versus machavat would be an inner expression. And we end up with the opposite conclusion about whether it's covered or uncovered. The conclusion is, ela kumara gemirala, that it's a alacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's a mesorah that he had, that the marcheshet comes as a covered, and the machavat comes as uncovered. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, marcheshet amuka dichtiv. How do I know the marcheshet is a deep pot, deep pan? It says, v'chol anaseh b'marcheshet. Machavat safa. How do I know the machavat is a shallow pan? Ki dichtiv bi'al machavat, on the machavat. So the expression by the marcheshet is bit inside, so it's deep inside, which includes that there's a toch, there's some sort of receptacle, deep area that you place it into, which is the machavat is al, you just place it on top of. It's on. There's a shallow area, or it's almost no toch that you're placing it, and that's why it's out. It's on top of the machavat. So Tana Banan, Bichamay Omrim, Homer, Harei Alai Marcheshet. Someone who says that I'm going to bring a marcheshet, Emunach Achivo Aleil, should leave it around until Eliyahu comes, because there's an uncertainty here. That uncertainty is Misveikalahu. Yeah, Shum Kli Nikru, or Shum Maasehin. Why is it called a marcheshet? Is it a Minchat Marcheshet because marcheshet is the pan that's used, the deep pot, the deep pan that is used? Or whereas a marcheshet, the action that you take, the mincha is named a marcheshet. So Rashi brings down here, when you say harei alai marcheshet, do you mean to bring a mincha marcheshet? Or do you mean to bring the pan, to donate to the mikdash, the marcheshet itself? Because we don't know what it's referring to. Is a marcheshet a description of the mincha, or is it a description of the pot or pan in which the mincha marcheshet is made? It's called a mincha marcheshet because it's made in a marcheshet. So here you didn't use the word mincha, you simply used the word marcheshet. So we're uncertain as to what it means. Beit Shammai says, wait until Menachah al Shiva Eliyahu. Tosfos does ask,
what does it mean?
It's not,
you have to know what to do. It's not like money that we
So Tosfos asks your question, though, and he says, listen, anytime we have a nether and you have uncertainty in nether, what do? We tell you to do everything to make sure you discharge it. Tosfos asks, listen, bring a mincha marcheshet and give a pot that's a marcheshet. That's the solution. We always tell you, do whatever it takes to discharge your obligation. So Tosfos comes up with this interesting case. V'yish lomar, it's the last three lines in that Tosfos. K'gon shehifrish ma'ot v'kdishan marcheshet k'mo shedrusu chachmaim halashon. So he says that, marcheshet, based on what they'll tell him that what it means. Well, since we don't know what it means, we can't tell him what to do. You can't get that instruction. So therefore, we don't know what to do now. He had made it dependent on what we say, and we can't tell him what it is. That's the safek that they have here. The other possibility of safek, which Rashi brings, we don't have it in our Rashi, although Tosfos claims Rashi has it. Number of times here, Tosfos is quoting Perisha Kuntris, which is not found in our Rashi. Rav here says Perisha Kuntris, which is the suffix here, is Deloya Dinan Lahaini Kavain. We don't know what he meant. Because we gave before, there are two interpretations of the word Marcheshet. Marcheshet could be Rachash Libi Davar Tov, which means something internal. Or the Marcheshet could be Havimarachashan Siftotei, that your lips are quivering. So we don't know if you're talking about something that is exposed or something that is submerged. So it could be that you're talking about a submerged or an exposed mincha, which would be a difference in what type of the pan you're bringing. So that would be another aspect or dimension of safek that we have here. That the question of whether, when you say marcheshet, it means minchat marcheshet based on the deep pan. Marcheshet means the siftotav, marachashin, that your lips are quivering, which means something that's shallow, something that's obvious and open. We don't know if you meant a machavat or a marcheshet, or minchat machavat, minchat marcheshet, or the other safek is we don't know which kli, if you meant the kli or the mincha. So those many sfeikot. Here's Beit Shammai says, we don't touch it. On the other hand, Beit Hillel omrim, kli hayah b'mikdash u'marcheshet shema. It's very clear. There was a kli in the mikdash, and its name was marcheshet. V'domek min kalbus amok. It was like a kalbus, a deep kalbus, which the sort of shas, if he says perish klisha yul shlosh regalim, it had some sort of tripod or three legs that held it up. The translations that I saw for kalbos were either a deep mold or a baking form in the shape of forceps. These are the different types. You can see the picture in Rashi. What he has is a kalbos over there, which is some sort of pan that they allowed the menachot to cook in, or the dough to cook in, that gave it shape and gave it form. And therefore, kasher batzeg munach b'tocho, dough was inside of it. It's like balls of dough. Domek min tapuche ha bartim, the Aruch has ha bartim, apples from, I saw Cretan apples, which I assume would mean from Crete, apples from Crete, and the other is this kamin belote hayivanim, or Grecian nuts, nuts from Greece, but they were shaped in such a form where, as Rashi describes here, they were circular or rounded, except for makom knisa. Assume that means on the bottom where they sat, they were flat, but everything else was rounded. So that's this pan gave this shape to the mincha, and that's what this marcheshet, that's the way it baked in a similar type of fashion. But what we say is v'omer v'chol naseh b'marcheshet v'ala machavat, and the pasuk says anything that is made b'marcheshet al machavat. Well, b'marcheshet indicates that it's not the maaseh, it's not the action that you're taking. Alma al shem hakelim nikru'u v'alo al shum maasehim. Clear that we're talking about the kli over here. Kli is called a marcheshet and not the mincha. The mincha is called the mincha marcheshet because it's made in a kli marcheshet. But it's not because of the way you work with it. It's not because that means the mincha. It means the kli. So when you say arei alai marcheshet, according to Beit Hillel, it seems that it would be obvious that you're talking about the kli marcheshet and not the action, not bringing a mincha of marcheshet. If you want to say a mincha marcheshet, then what do you say? You say arei alai minchat marcheshet. This would agree or match with what we said earlier in the Masechta on Daf Gimel. In the Masechta, we had that Rav Ashi said over there that machav Shavat, L'shem Marcheshet, reconcile the position of Rabbi Shimon, says the difference is between you, whether you say Minchat Marcheshet, Minchat Machavat, or you say Machvat L'shem Marcheshet, because B'monoko Machshev. Over there, you're definitely talking about the Kli. So there, Ravashi also says it's talking about the Kli, and that would match, therefore parallel the Sugya we saw earlier with this, of what Beit Hillel says, that we're all just talking about the Kli, unless you specify that it says the word Mincha. Right now, Harei Alai Bit Tanur, the next set of Menachot that we're talking about are the Mincha Ma'afet Tanur. Now, Mincha Ma'afet Tanur comes in two forms. Pasuk says, V'chi Takriv, Karban Mincha Ma'afet Tanur, Solot Chalot, Matzot Bululot Vashemen, and Rikike Matzot, Meshuchim Vashemen. So it could either be Chalot Matzot, or it could be Rikike Matzot. So it comes Chalot or Rikikim. As the Ma'afet Tanur has two manifestations, and therefore it says, Ma'afet Tanur, Harei Alai Bit Tanur, Lo Yavi Ma'afet Kupach, you can't bring the Kupach. We've seen in Shabbos and other places, Tanur, it's a smaller Tanur. The Tanur has two places to place the kederot on top of it. But Zukpach only has one place, so it's a smaller tanur. So here the Torah says tanur, it means tanur and not kupach. So lo yavi ma'afe kupach, below ma'afe re'afim, and it should not be baked on tiles, hot tiles. U'ma'afe yorot ha'ravayim, and the Arabian fireplaces or furnaces, you shouldn't use those either. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ratzam ivi ma'afe kupach, you can do that if you wish. You can bring this, it's called a tanur, it's just a small tanur, so you can bring it. Now if he says, arei alai minchat ma'afe, lo yavi mechza chalot, you can't bring it half and half. You can't bring half chalot, half rikikim. Rabbi Shimon, matir mipnei shu karban echad. It's called ma'afet tanur. And either of these two is ma'afet tanur. You put them together. They're still called the karban mincha ma'afet tanur. Therefore, you can bring five chalot and five rikikim, and that'll be just fine. Tanur banan, ma'afet tanur, velo ma'afet kupach, velo ma'afet re'afim, velo ma'afet yorot arabiyim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tanur, tanur shnei pi'amim. He says the word tanur is used in the pasuk twice. It's a miyot achar miyot. Tanur would come to be mima'et a kupach. The fact that it says it twice. I have that. Then I have ein miyot achar miyot ela lirabot. Since ein miyot achar miyot ela lirabot, therefore I have the riboy of kupach, and I can do it in a tanur or a kupach. Because it says here tanur in Vayikra Perakbet, and it also says it again when it speaks about the mincha ma'afet tanur in Vayikra Vav by Tzav, and it speaks about Zot Torah Tamincha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tanur, tanur, why does it say it twice? Shnei pi'amim. Echad shetei afiyatan bitanur, ve'echad shehei hekteishan bitanur. One is that you have to bake it in a tanur, which is Rabbi Shimon's position, that it must be in a tanur, not a kupach. And the next one is that you have to be makdishit in a tanur. You do not makdishit in a klisharet, but rather the tanur itself is what's makdish, the baking of it in the tanur is what's makdishit. Umi itnei the Rabbi Shimon haisvara. Shimon really believed that the tanur is makdishit. That's not. We have a Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo'olam Havri Ragil Omer. We always say, Shtei Lechem, Lechem Avanim Kisheirot Ba'azara, Ukisheirot Be'Beit Pagei. They're Kisheirot when you're in the Azara. They're Kisheirot in Beit Pagei, which is outside the Azara. And that means that they were not Nigdash. That means the Shtei Lechem, the Lechem Panim are not Nigdash. If they were in the oven, then once you take them out of the oven, you have the Shtei Lechem, Lechem Panim. They're not on the Shulchan. They're not placed with the Kivsei Atzeret yet. Then they should be Kadosh B'Kedushat HaMincha. If they're Kadosh B'Kedushat HaMincha, then you should be Pasul B'Yotzei. So over here, you're taking them out to Beit Pagei. They're called Shtei Lechem, they're called Lechem HaPanim. We're saying they're not Pasul. If that's the case, that means that the Tanur is not Mikadesh them. It must be that the Kiddush only happens when you put them on the Shulchan, or when you bring them together and do the Tenufa with the Kivsei Atzeret, or even possibly later when you put on the Bazicha Levona. But either way, it's not happening so early on when you're doing baking in the tanur. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, back in the earlier part of the Masechta, quotes this Rashi, and he says he doesn't think he's right. He doesn't think, even in a minchas nitkadesh b'kli, it's not pasul b'yotze, but rather he says that it is just not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. Zilo milsa, to take it out to Beit Pagei. Once it's kadosh, then you wouldn't want to take it out to Beit Pagei. So it's not mi'ikar alocha that it's pasul b'yotze, but it's something that would be unacceptable to take it out, because that would be improper etiquette, and it would be zilo b'milta if you took it out. But either way, what we see here is it can't be the tanur that's giving it that kedusha, because otherwise why would Mishimon make such a statement? So Amarava ema shehei hekdesham l'shun tanur. Not that tanur means you actually become kadosh and the hekdesh in the tanur. Rather, when you are magdishtem, you should say, I'm doing this l'shun tanur. that this is Nikdash Lashem Tanur, Lashem the Minchat Mafe Tanur. Alright, Hare Alai Minchat Mafe, Lo Yavi Mechza, you can't bring half and half. Tanur Banan, it says in the Pasuk, Vichi Takriv, in Pasuk Dalid, in Parak Bet, it says Vichi Takriv, Karban Mincha Mafe Tanur. So it says Vichi Takriv, Kishit Takriv Las Sot, Tavar Rishut. And when you decide to come to it, then it's a Rishut. You don't have to bring a Karban Mafe Tanur. Vichi Takriv means when you do bring it, it's your option. Karban mincha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, minayin lomer harei alai mincha mafeh, shelo yabi mechse chalot u mechse rikikin, tamalomar karban mincha. Karban achad amar tzilcha, velo shnayim ushlosha karbanot. So over here you have the word, what does it mean, the korban mincha mafeh tanur? So that korban comes to teach you that there's only one korban here, and you can't make it into multiple karbanot. So that means that you can either bring it rikikim, or you can bring it chalot, you can't mix and match. So Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says back to Rabbi Yehuda, wait a minute, v'chi ne'emar karban, karban shnei pe'amim? Does it say karban, karban twice? Halo ne'emar ela karban echad. It only says the word karban once. V'ne'emar bo chalot urikikin. It defines what that karban is. It says, v'chi takriv karban mincha ma'afet tanur, solet chalot matzot bulot bashemen, ukike matzot nishpchim v'shamen. Under the same header, karban, it tells you chalot and rikikim. So that means that the Torah describes both the chalot and the rikikim as a single karban. So then I can say, Hanu amar ela karban achav nevo chalot rikikim ata, v'tzal avi chalot mivi, rikikim mivi. You have your option. Mechza chalot, mechza rikikim mivi, ubololan. But then you have to mix them together, but komets mishneyem, and then you have to take the komets off of both of them once they're mixed together. Vim komets, v'alav yadom echad ashneyem yatsa. But once he's done that, he's mixed them together, and he takes off a komets. If it only comes off the rikikim, it only comes off the chalot, that's fine, because you have them mixed together, and you've taken off the komets. Rabbi Shimon has a good point here. Shimon says that you have the word korban once, and it defines what korban is. It says both chalot and rikikim. Sounds like if you brought both chalot and rikikim, it'd still be under the korban mechem ma'afet tanur. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, his son, Omer Minayin, how do you know that you have to bring it either chalot or rikikim? He said, Minayin Omer, Elai mincha ma'afet tanur, shalei vi mechsa chalot mechsa rikikim. Tamal Omar, v'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur, v'chol anaseh b'marcheshet, v'al machavat, la'kohen ha'makrivoto lo tiyeh. So now you have a series of minachot that are mentioned in Tzav. It says, v'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chare So you have a list over here. Ma v'chol amur lemato. When I deal with the karbanot that are brought the mato. So here, listen to the list is v'chol mincha ma asher mitafeh betanur. That's one mincha. Then there's v'chol anaseh b'marcheshet al machavat. That's the second series of minachot. And then the third series is v'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareiva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. So you have a pasuk that lists out all these. You have mincha asher tefeh betanur v'chol anaseh b'marcheshet machavat l'koin ha'makriv ota lo tiyeh. V'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareiva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. See all these. The second series are marcheshet machavat and chareiva and blula. Each of those are a list when it says b'chol. Each one of those are separate minachot. So that's ma chol amur lemato. The chol that is mentioned by machavat and marcheshet means b'chol minchat machavat and marcheshet, two different types of minachot. It says b'chol blula b'shemen chareiva, two different types of minachot. Af a chol amur lemala. Chol that it says in the first instance, which is chol mincha asher tafeh betanur. What does that mean? B'chol asher tafeh betanur. Well, that's the rikikim and the chalot. Shnei minim chalukim. So just like below, when it said kol, it meant these are two separate minim. So too, when it says kol above, it means that they're two different minim. That means chalot and rikikim don't mix and match. They're totally separate minim. So Rabbi Yehuda Shapir Kamar, Rabbi Shimon. Right, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon has a good point to them, that the word karban is only used once. So how can you learn it out of the word karban? So Zamar Lacha, Rabbi Yehuda responds to you. Kevin dechtib bashemen, bashemen, man dechtib karban, karban dami. Because the pasuk says, Kitakib karban mechama fetanur, solet chalot b'matzot b'lot bashemen, ukike matzot mishuchim bashemen. So that bashemen, bashemen teaches you that they're separate. Each shemen has a separate shemen for each of them. And that is referencing back to the word karban. It's as if it said the word karban twice. Well, Rabbi Shimon, ilokti bashemen, bashemen. If he didn't write shemen each one of them, amina, davka mechza chalot mechza rikikim. I need the shemen to teach me that you could bring one or the other. Because if it didn't have something to separate him, I would think that you have to bring it chalot matzot. You have to bring it chalot matzot and rikikim. Then it says, bashem, bashem, think we can bring either or. Plus, you can bring it as a mix. Mashmalon, b'shem Hashem, that it is yes. Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, haynu avua. Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as his father. Why do they have a separate din? Why are they learning it from somewhere else? Ike b'nayu di'evet. B'di'evet, whether it's pasum b'di'evet or not, is the machlokas between them. The Rabbi Yehuda learns that out of the word korban, he says that b'di'evet it's kasher. It should be a korban echad, but b'di'evet it's kasher if it's not. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda learns it out of b'chol. Over there, it's la'akev, because all the other menachot were la'akev. There are two minim, marchesh and machavat. Lula, chariva, it means rikikim, and chalot are a totally separate korbanot, and b'di'evet, even b'di'evet, it's psula if you bring them together. Because you have, instead of, if it was really one korban and it could be mixed together, you should have the word bashemen, which modifies the korban on both of them. It should have been written in the pasuk. And just write shemen once. The fact that it separates out the word bashemen by rikikim and bashemen by chalot shows you that they are separate entities. And the word korban, which they are modifying, is each one of them is an independent item and not a single item. And Hafanami, you're right, they're separate, but they're separate to show you that you can bring them individually. You can bring or chalot or rikikim, but it's not separate enough that you can't bring rikikim and chalot together. All right, that's the end of the perek. We'll do a quick, we'll get a little start on the new perek, and then we'll continue with that tomorrow. Omer ayabab b'shabab mishalosh sa'im u'b'chol b'chamesh sa'im. On a weekday, you bring it from 5 sa'ah, and on a Shabbat, you bring it from 3 sa'ah, and then you sift it down so you get the isaron that you need for the omer. Doesn't matter if it's Shabbos or Chol, you do it the same way. And Shabbat, they used to do it in a quiet way with one individual, one sickle, and one basket. Ubechol b'shlosha, it would be with three people. B'shlosh kupot, three baskets. U'shlosh magalot, in three sickles. Makes no difference. Shalosha, shalosh kupot, shalosh magalot, three people, three sickles, and three baskets. So b'shlosh marabbanon kasavre yisaron mufchar b'shlosh saim. It's clear what the rabbanon think. They think you can get to a perfectly good yisaron through three sa'ati. B'loshna b'chol, b'loshna b'shabbat. Doesn't matter chol or shabbat, you do it the same well. Elo Rabbi Shmuel, my kasavre. Rabbi Shmuel differentiates between chol and shabbat. What is he thinking? I kasavre yisaron mufchar lo ati el mechamesh. If you're going to get a good yisaron out of five, then afilu b'shabbat nami. Then on shabbat you have to do it. Doche shabbat, then you should be able to do it that way. I mishalosh ati. If you can get from three a good, afilu b'chol nami. Then why in chol you're collecting five instead of three? So you can easily do a isaron out of five sa'a, good, really good quality isaron out of five sa'a, without any extra tircha. But tircha, on the other hand, if you work a little harder, ati mishalosh, you do an extra sifting, you do a little extra work, you can get it out of three as well. So b'chol ma'atina mechamesh, from anchol, we do it from five, d'halchi shvicha milto. It's nicer. Then you only have to take the first part that comes out of the sifter each time, you can take the finest of the finest, and you'll end up with the isaron. B'shabbat, he has a principle. Mutov shirbe b'melacha achat b'arkada. Better that he does multiple siftings, he'll be in violation of a single melacha. V'aryeh b'melachot arbe. Rather than have to do multiple melachot on a larger quantity. Over here, he can do it on three sa'ah, or he's going to have to do multiple melachot on an extra two sa'ah. But rather than do that, we'll say, just do more harkada. Do more sifting. You'll do more sifting, so you work a little harder, but you only be in violation of one melacha, and then we prefer.
Which is better?
It's a nice way to do it, because then you don't have to work so hard, it makes it very fine, it's easy to go. You can get the Yisaron, it only needs to be solid. It doesn't have to be sold to solid. So sold to solid is like a hiddur mitzvah. It's shvicha milsa is that it's a hiddur, it's nicer, it's beautiful, but it's not solid if you do it with three. That's what he's saying. So Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Brokam, Rud Dabar Achad. They're both in the same position. Titania. Arba asa shechol yot b'shabbat. Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbat, Mafshit at the Pesach, they bring the Korban Pesach, Zdoch at the Shabbat, but then they have to wait till after Shabbat to cook the Pesach, and here to be Mafshit the Pesach, to skin, to flay the Pesach. So the question is, can you flay the Pesach on Shabbat? Because you need the Emurim to go on the Mizbeach, you need to take the Emurim out. So what do you do in terms of flaying the Pesach? So Rabbi Ishmael believes, Rabbi Shmuel Benosho, Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka believes that you're mafshit the Pesach at the chazeh. Flay it, you cut it open until you reach the chest, and then you stop, because after that point you can get out the chalavim. Once you get out the chalavim, we don't permit you to continue to flay it. Rabbi Shmuel Benosho, Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka, b'chamim at shiavshit el kulo, you can take off the whole sin, flay it normally, take it off like normal. So Milo, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Benosho, Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka, hatam, kohecha de'efshar, lo tarchinan. If it's possible to do what you need to do without going further, don't do it. So you'll say the same thing here by the Omer. So they both have this principle that we don't want you to be Toreach more than necessary. Mimai. Why do you have to say that the same thing? Over here, Rabbi Shmuel is willing to have you do it in 3 sa'ah, not 5 sa'ah, because there's no bizayon kochim by doing this. You just have to work a little harder. If you leave it there with it not fully skinned, it looks like an avela. And there are hundreds of carbonot sitting around. It looks like a bunch of nevelot sitting around. So that's a bizayon kochim. So maybe he'll say over there, kerabonan spherely. He'll hold it kerabonan. Inam the other way around. Right, then he's doing something. He can do the tzorach gavoa, and he doesn't have to be mechal shabbos of a hacha. Then over here, where you don't get the full into kodesh, tzorach achulei shabbos, emak rabbanan sfirle. He says, I'll be like the rabbanan. Over there, he says, if you cut it up to the chazeh, that's sufficient. I get everything I need. Why should I be allowed to be mechal shabbos more than that? I have exactly what I need. I get the chalavim out. Any cutting beyond that is to the benefit of the individual, that he can cut it nicely, and that it doesn't look like an avela. But it doesn't do anything more for the animal, for the korban. On the other hand, over here, by doing it in 5 instead of 3, you've made it even a finer flour. It's solid, yes, with 3, but it's solid to solid. Finest of the flour if you go with 5, and therefore, there would be a benefit to doing it in that manner. Okay, we'll step over.